We are thankful to see each one here today. I'm going to look at something just a little different. And at least our burden is, at least on our part. I don't think this will take long to get across. I think it's something we already know, but there's a burden that God has dealt with us on as far as witnessing and evangelizing, as we're dealing with that as the final function of the church, that we're to evangelize. There's a problem that's come over the years. I don't know where it started. I don't know where it began. I don't think necessarily that that's the important thing. But there's people that look at souls as numbers, that numbers mean everything. I know it upset me years ago. Even in my teenage years, I was reading a book about some of the crusades done by some of preachers years ago. And you know, it was a big thing. You know, they would say, well, we're going to see this many souls saved, and we're going to see this accomplished, and we're going to make sure this happens. Well, that's not the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's men trying to set goals, and that's men trying to accomplish their will. And we're not to do that. Now, in saying that, there's some people saying, oh, so you don't want souls to be saved. No, I want to see all that can be saved saved. I want to see everybody in the world saved. I want to see churches so filled we have to knock down walls and, you know, build new buildings or have new areas because there's not enough room for everybody in the church. We have to open up windows again because there's people outside wanting to hear. Now that's the way I love it. But at the same time, my goal is not numbers. And I've come across churches and groups that, you know, we got a goal. We're going to see this many souls saved this year. We're going to see this many added to the church. We're going to see this. And again, we mentioned Sunday night about following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever find where the Holy Spirit, the push was numbers? Now, they wanted to see people saved. And they were going to people and sharing the gospel and had a desire to see people saved. But there is a big difference between I want to share the gospel with people and whosoever believeth, we're going to rejoice over. Versus we're going to set down some numbers and we're going to do whatever we can to get those numbers. I'll never forget, and I'm not going to name the town. I'm not trying to shame anybody or throw anybody under the bus, so to speak. But I know this also, that years ago, there was a church that they hired an evangelist, so to speak. Of course, that word gets misused so many times. But they hired an evangelist. He said, now, if I come in, y'all at least going to see 30 professions of faith while I'm there. You know what they did? And about a year later, you couldn't find any of them. They had all left the church, gone somewhere else. But people would talk about, oh, we had that great meeting. Listen, if there's no substance to it, then God wasn't in it. You get a person to Christ, there's going to be a change in the heart, and it's going to bear some fruit. I'm not saying everybody's just going to stay true and walk with the Lord in every step of their life. Everybody's going to be at church every Sunday, but you see 30 people saved, there's going to be some change in that church and that community, especially in one meeting or something. And I certainly believe that 30 people can be saved during a meeting. I believe more than that can be saved. But at the same time, it's not the numbers that's important. It's about one soul coming to Christ. And that's our goal. And so we wanted to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and get something across to us. Going to begin. Let's just begin in verse 1. I know the context of this scripture, dealing with the duty of servants and the love of money and things of that nature being talked about here. But let's just begin in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but dotting about questions and strifes of words, Whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil summaries, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I know he's dealing with money here, and I know he's dealing with whatever life that we have to deal with on this earth, that we're not to, you know, be envious or hate those that have the rule over us in this world. Sometimes that, in times past, has even been, as he said, masters versus servants and things of that nature. And that would be the same way of people in our day and time. You know, there's people that say, well, I hate that person because he's got money, or I hate that person because he doesn't have money. God is not a respecter of persons. And he never wanted the church to be split up because of people being focused on what they have or have not. He wanted us to know that we're all brethren in Christ if we're saved, and that we're to esteem each other in the work of God. And yet here, as we come, he's talking about those that would teach that gain is godliness. And that's where we want to focus our attention on. There are some people that say, well, God's with this church because we're growing. I had a man tell me that years ago. I was talking to a man that went to a certain church, and he said, man, we know that God is with us. And I said, how do you know that? Well, we have this many professions of faith. Well, this building's paid off. Well, we're growing and we're gaining and we're doing all this. I said, if it's not according to the Word of God, I said, is it good? Y'all remember another thing that Paul told Timothy about rewards? And except a man strive lawfully, he's not crowned. Now, if we start tearing down things in the Word of God and we refuse to preach it and teach it, and I'll even say this, when it comes to salvation, you know what's left out a lot of times in salvation? The word repent. There's a message that John the Baptist came preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is a message that you find Jesus Christ preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You find Peter preaching that in Acts chapter 2. You find Paul preaching that. You find James preaching that. That is the message that we still tell the world. You need to repent of dead works and turn to the living God. You need to stop thinking you can work yourself to heaven, and you need to turn from all that, and you need to trust in Christ for salvation. And that's the message we still preach, the message of reconciliation. But there's some that have this thought process, oh, we're with God. We need to be careful with that. And I know I've already made this statement one time, and I'm not saying I agree with everything the man said, but I'll say this, Charles Spurgeon made a great statement when he said the church that the world loves the most is probably the church that God loves the least. Wouldn't that be true? The world loves its own. And listen, that's not preaching against a church by its size. Because you can have a pretty decent congregation in the world, as far as a whole, still hate you. You can still be hated by the world, and the world be against you and all these other things. But we need to be careful that we don't conform ourselves to the world. There's a lot of churches in our day and time that their evangelism, and they'll openly state it, is we need to conform more toward to the world so that we can win the world. That's as anti-scriptural as it can be. That is heresy, is what that is. Bible says, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. Clearly taught in Scripture. And when we talk about evangelism, we need to make sure, as much as we love the lost sinner, as much as we desire them to be saved, as much as we want them to trust in Christ, we can never compromise the truth to get some kind of false profession. The same message that Jesus and John and James and Peter and Paul and all those men preached, repent and believe the gospel, is the same message we must preach today. And people say, but what if we're not seeing any results? Let me ask this question. How much results did Isaiah see? Was he doing what God wanted him to do? Now, if he went on results, he had been a great failure. What about Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. Jeremiah, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear you. You still need to go out and preach it. There's a lot in our day and time that would call Jeremiah a failure. He was not a failure. He just was not compromising the truth to get numbers. Because his job was not to get numbers. His job was to get people to repent and turn back to God. And we need to remember that's our goal. It is not to fill the church houses up. And again, I say that with saying this very firmly. I would love to see church houses full. I've never seen a pew convert and trust in Christ. Have you? I like to preach to people. And I want to see as many people as possible be in the church house. But at the same time, you cannot compromise the truth to get them there. If you do, you're doing them an injustice. You're not helping them. When we go out and talk to our neighbors, I can't lie to them. And I know that that makes you unpopular in our day and time with all the false religion that's out there. Somebody will tell you, you know, and I've had many of these conversations. I had a man tell me one time, he said, "I hope I make it." I said, "My Bible doesn't teach a hope-so salvation." I said, "It teaches a no-so salvation." And I turned over to 1 John chapter 5 and showed him how a person can know that he's saved. And I said, "Now, if you know the Lord, you know that you're a child of His. You know that you're saved. The Bible's plain on this." Now, I wasn't trying to be smart with him or anything else. I just wanted him to know the truth. But I couldn't leave him there saying, "I hope I make it." That's a horrible place to be in. I had a Pentecostal preacher one time that I talked to at length, and I asked him repeatedly, over and over and over again, I said, "Tell me when you trusted Christ." And he told me about gifts, and he told me about baptism, and he told me about speaking in tongues. I said, "I didn't ask you any of that." And I didn't even try to get into an argument with all the other things that he was off on. I said, "All I want to know is, when did you trust in Jesus?" And he could never answer that question. I wasn't going to let the man leave thinking he was saved. Because by his own testimony, he had never trusted in Christ. He had trusted in baptism. He had trusted in some gift that he got. He did not have a time in his life when he saw himself as a sinner and turned by faith and believed upon Christ for salvation. I felt horrible for the man. Listen, I've met people that say, "Oh, I'm part of this church over here." And, you know, and they'll tell you, I'll say, "Well, tell me when you were saved. Tell me when you trusted Christ." And they really don't know. I'll be honest, I've even had people tell me of when they were drowning and they asked God for help and somebody came by and gave them a hand and that's their salvation. That's not soul salvation. You got saved from drowning. But that's not soul salvation. Soul salvation is when you turned and trusted in Christ. And again, I don't want us to get caught up in numbers. And I'll be honest, I don't want lost people thinking they're some kind of a number to the church. They're not. God, and He can do this to thousands of people all at once. You see that in Acts chapter 2. But God convicts a heart individually. Every individual that you find in Acts chapter 2, when they trusted in Christ, they were pricked in their hearts. That's what the Scripture says. And they turned, and says those that believed were baptized. Which is exactly what we believe, believers' baptism. But I'll tell you this, was Peter preaching for numbers that day? Was he preaching so he could say, "Hey, this many thousands of people got saved"? Was that what he was preaching for? Or was he preaching for whosoever would believe? He was preaching for whosoever would believe. And that's where our attention needs to be. We share the gospel. And we share it because we want whosoever to believe. And we love the individual that'll trust in Christ. If all of us are sharing the gospel with people, and again, being led of the Holy Spirit of God in what we're doing, we're not seeking for another number in the church. We're seeking a soul that'll turn to Christ. That's what we're seeking. And I'll tell you what, numbers on a board or numbers in a minute book or whatever it might be does not tell us whether God is with us or not. Let me even ask this question. How many of us were a number in a book at one time before we trusted Christ? How many of us had our names written down on a church roll somewhere before we trusted Christ? See, I joined the church back when I was 12 years old. I didn't trust Christ until I was 15 years old. There might have been a number on a book somewhere, and this church had so many professions of faith, but was that book accurate? It wasn't accurate. Now, I'm not against things being written in a book. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you what, there wasn't rejoicing in heaven until the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I tell you, we're not after false professions. We're not after some numbers on a board. We're not sitting here like a business saying, okay, we got to hit a certain quota that we got to get to. That's not our goal. Our goal is, and it comes back to the first work of the church, worship. Worship of God. Our goal is to do what is honorable and pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And we know that sharing Christ with people is. And we know that a person that wins souls is wise. We know that. But I tell you what, if I'm not concerned about the one, I'm missing it. You know, I know it's talking about church members. It's talking about those of the household. When you look in the book of Luke and you look at the man that would leave the 99 and go for the one, or the lady that searched over that lost piece of silver, or the prodigal son that came back home. He was always a son, but he was a son that had gone far off, gotten into things he shouldn't, and he came back home. But I believe that all shows a little bit of the heart of God, don't you? You know God's concerned about one soul. I think you see that in Acts chapter 8. Philip, I need you to go out into the middle of a desert place. For what? I got one man for you to speak to. I think, again, that shows that God is concerned just as much about the one as He is 100. And even when 100 is saved, each one of them individually will be convicted in their heart. Or if it's 1,000, they'll each be convicted in their heart. But if we ever get to the place that we think that, oh, numbers mean that God is with us, we're missing it. Faithfulness is what it means for God to be with us. When we're faithfully serving God, when we're faithfully speaking the truth to people, when we're calling people to repentance, when we're not trying to make shortcuts. Listen, we might get a lot more professions of faith if we just tell lost people like some other churches do, oh, raise your hand if you're lost. Write on this card if you believe Christ, repeat these words, repeat this prayer, and we'll write you down as being saved. We might could have more professions if we did that. But I believe it would be false professions. I believe it would be misleading people. Our goal is not to mislead people. Our goal is to lead them to the truth. That you need to look at yourself by the Word of God. Let it be a perfect mirror to you. Let God show you who you are, that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you need to see Christ. And when in a person's heart they turn by faith and trust in Christ, God saves them. God saves them because they didn't trust in their works. They didn't trust in their might. They didn't trust in their church membership. They didn't trust in their baptism. They didn't trust in some spiritual gift. They didn't trust in anything else. They trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, that person can go back to that point in their life for all their days and know, hey, I didn't trust in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, the devil's going to have a hard time tearing that apart, isn't he? They're going to be rooted, grounded, and settled on their salvation. And when you're rooted and grounded on salvation, that being the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no other foundation which can be laid, then they can add to that faith virtue and knowledge, temperance. They can continue to grow and mature and be what God would have them to be. Because they'll say, I know I'm saved. Because I didn't trust in something else. I trusted in my heart in Christ. And you know, I think churches years ago, when they started seeing some of the numbers go down and professions of faith and different things, instead of looking in the mirror and saying we need to repent, we need to draw closer to God, sadly what many of them did is said we need to come up with a new formula that'll make us feel good. Let's take the place of the Holy Spirit. Let's take the place of somebody's hearts and let's put words into their mouth. And we'll get more and more numbers. I had another man a few years back. He talked about a church. And again, I'm not going to call the name out of the church. But he talked about a church that he went to. He was a member of at the time. And he made this statement. He said every year, he said this church has 30, 40 professions of faith every year. He said, we have the same number coming on Sundays that we had 30 years ago. He said, that doesn't make sense. I don't know if he was willing to look at all the things that were causing it and some of the other conversations that we had, but he could at least see something's not right. Because you don't have that many professions of faith and stay the same size. And what are you seeing is there was no fruit. There was no root, really, was the problem. And it's because the church had got focused on numbers instead of people repenting and having a new birth and being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so this message I know is a little different when it comes to what we're dealing with on evangelism. But I want us to be evangelical. I want us to go out and I want us to spread the gospel and I want us to do what God has taught us to do. But if we get our eyes focused on numbers instead of on people, instead of on souls, we're going to look at things wrong. We're going to be deceived. I don't want us to do that. Our goal in evangelizing and sharing the gospel is not numbers. Our goal is bringing people to Christ. And there is a difference between the two. We want to point souls to Jesus. That's what we want to do. That's evangelism. We want to point souls to Christ. Even in the book of Acts, even with Jesus Himself, there are many times when they were mocked, when they were rejected. But I always love one of my favorite lines in all the Word of God is this, but some believed. That's what we preach for. That's what we share the gospel for. We don't know who will believe. When you're preaching a whosoever gospel, we have no idea who's going to believe and who's not. We have no idea who's going to trust in the Lord and follow the Lord. We have no idea. But we share the gospel for whosoever will believe. And if we have our eyes where they need to be on the Lord and doing what God has called us to do, and not getting our eyes distracted by numbers and by things that this world would praise, I guess the best way to say it is we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord and make sure that we're serving Him. Even in evangelism, please never get to the place in evangelism of sharing the gospel with people that you're focused on, well, how many professions do we have today? Well, how many have joined the church? Don't do that. Ask the question, did I tell them the truth? Did I speak the truth in love? Did I do what God wanted me to do in carrying out His commission, what He's given the church to do? Was I led by the Spirit of God in what I did? If we'll focus on that side of it when we're doing evangelism, I believe long term, and I'm talking eternally here, we'll see a whole lot more success. We'll see the long-term results when our focus is being led of the Spirit and doing what God has called us to do. And then leaving results, numbers and all that other stuff in God's hands. And just being concerned about those lost people going to hell. And being concerned about presenting the truth to them in love. And then letting the Holy Spirit do its work. And letting the individuals choose whether they're going to trust in Christ or reject Christ. Everything else needs to be left in the hands of God. And I pray that we'll do that, not get our eyes off the goal. Because there are so many people today that say, oh, God's with us, God's with us. And they use numbers, or they use money, they use some other thing to try to justify that God is with them. That's not how we judge righteously. We judge by whether we've done what God taught us to do. And if we're abiding in what God has taught us to do, we might be a Jeremiah. We might be an Isaiah. We might be like Noah. Noah preached for 100 years, didn't he? While he was building that ark. 8 souls got on that ark. And that was including Noah and his wife. Did Noah fail? He didn't fail. He did exactly what God told him to do. Exactly what God told him to do. And if we'll do that, that's where our success is. And we do want to rejoice when souls trust in Christ. But we don't want to rejoice over a number. We want to rejoice because a person saw their condition and they turned by faith and believed in their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the real joy is at. And I pray that's where our joy will be also. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.